This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. Earlier this year, it seemed Cincinnati had a good chance of landing the 2016 Republican National Convention, but last week, the city withdrew its bid. Hamilton County Republican Party Chairman Alex Triano-Filo joins us to discuss the bid process, why the city withdrew, and what it means going forward. You can join the conversation. Our number is 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. You'll also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up later, we'll be discussing next week's likely vote on the Cincinnati city budget. Again, if you have a question about the GOP convention, what might have been, 513-419-7100. Alex, thanks for being here.
It's great to be with both of you.
So talk about everybody when this tweet came out, probably a little bit earlier, I think, than perhaps you wanted it to last week, that the city was withdrawing. Everybody kind of was like, well, if you want this so bad, why are you withdrawing?
It's a fair question. You know, the withdrawal came as a result of our learning that we were not going to be in the final group that was chosen. So, you know, our group got together, thought a little bit about it and said, you know, it's better just to withdraw at this point. We're not hiding the notion that we were not going to get it. So, you know, Las Vegas withdrew the same way that we, the same day that we did. So we just thought it made sense to step politely out of the process.
It wasn't a call where the RNC site selection committee said, hey, look, you're not going to get it, so why don't you gracefully withdraw?
Yeah, I have to tell you, I was not part of the original call, Howard. I just was involved in a conference call after our group received the call. And we were sort of given the option, and everybody just agreed that it made sense just to lay down.
Alex, what it boiled down to, apparently, was Cincinnati had just about everything going for it except a good venue to hold the convention. And U.S. Bank Arena was deemed not to be that. What were the problems there?
That's exactly right, what you just said, Howard. First of all, I'd like to make sure that you all understand and your listeners understand that the arena was a terrific partner to us in this process. They were a great partner to us. So they worked extraordinarily well with our group. They offered to make lots of different changes to the arena to accommodate the RNC's desire. But at the end of the day, the arena is 40 years old. And there's just so much you can do to an arena of that age. There are just parts of that arena, and I'm not going to get into specifics, but there are just pieces of that arena that just weren't going to work for a modern day convention. And some of the changes that were going to be necessary were just cost prohibitive. So at the end of the day, I think really that was our one major area of weakness. The other things, Howard, by the way, we did extraordinarily well. We raised a lot of money to support this effort. We had a great transportation plan in place. We had a very walkable, condensed city. So we had a lot of really good things happening and a lot of good things to talk about. And let me just say this as I'm talking. At the end of the day, we felt like it was a positive measure to advance the cause of this city, to let the world know that, you know, we should be on the map for hosting an event like this, and we may try again in 2020.
What happened, and I think Niederlander Entertainment, I hope I get their company right, that owns U.S. Bank Arena, it's privately owned. I think there was some reporting that perhaps you were told one thing when you applied, but then when the group got here, they had different demands. Is that true?
That's actually true. The original RFP, the request for proposal that was put out by the Republican National Committee, actually went to our mayor. At the time, it was Mayor Mallory. When he sent that over to our group and to me and our group, we started to look at it. And the basic requirements of our arena were met. Frankly, we would not have gone down this path had we known that the arena was inadequate. Now, again, those requests are broad in nature, and they lay out some basic requirements for seating and suites and those kind of things. But once the tech team, and they called it a technical team, came here, you know, they started to really kind of burrow in and decide that maybe the arena wasn't sufficient for what they wanted to do. Look, I would make the argument today that they could have, our arena still could accommodate this thing. We would have met it. But I think as the process narrowed down, some of the other cities and their brand new shiny arenas were just hard to compete with.
You actually think that U.S. Bank Arena right now could handle this thing?
I thought so. And that's why we participated in this, Howard. We thought that we could do this. And I continue to believe that we could have done it. Now, look, are the other arenas that we're competing against better? Sure. But I would argue that there are things in our city that were better than some of the competing cities. Now, for instance, anybody who's been to Cleveland ought to know that we've got a lot to offer in the other areas that matter. And look, Howard, you've been to so many conventions, and I've been to a few myself. At the end of the day, the arena is a sound stage. It is a place for the convention speakers and ultimately our nominee to deliver a message to the world. We think on that score, it qualified.
It is a soundstage, but it's also a place where a whole lot of people have to be accommodated and you have to be able to get around. And I think, was that one of the problems with U.S. Bank Arena, elevators, concourse space, that kind of issue?
Again, some of the details we got were sort of vague. That was one of them, some of the concourse space. Some of the media workspace was important. Some of the power needs, you know, in a modern arena now with internet and a lot more media descending on the building, there were some other needs like that, I think, that were a problem. But I would actually probably defer to the arena to tell you specifically some of the shortcomings they saw. The process I was involved in was essentially to say, you know, this is where you guys are falling a little bit short in this effort, and then we had to make the decision and as leadership group as to whether or not we ought to withdraw, and we did.
Do you wish there was a retractable roof on Paul Brown Stadium right now?
Yes. I sure do.
Because then you could hold it.
Well, I've been to Lucas Oil Arena, and yeah. I thought that was outstanding.
Well, I've
there.
Been to a convention in the Superdome.
Sure. Know,
where
sure.
they cut off part of the, about a third of it, and they hold the thing inside, but we don't have that.
Right. Look, I'm an optimist by nature. I thought that this whole exercise that lasted 5 or 6 months was a good exercise for the community. I mean, it made us sharpen our game. The folks at the Convention and Visitors Bureau were excellent. I think they would tell you that they were able to really talk about this city in a way they hadn't done and kind of the comprehensive approach we took to this. We brought in Northern Kentucky. We brought in Indiana. So, you know, fell short, but we thought it was a worthwhile effort for sure.
Do you have any idea why Vegas was at, or Vegas withdrew? Was there was the same thing with the arena? It seems like a place like that, there'd be plenty of hotel space.
I read some basic media reports about that. I did not reach out to anybody there. The only people I've been communicating with regularly are the folks in Cleveland. My counterpart in the GOP in Cleveland is a good friend of mine, so he and I have kind of stayed in touch, and we both just read media reports about why Vegas withdrew.
Do you think that the Cincinnati effort should have started earlier, or would that have helped?
I really don't think so. I think that what ultimately was the challenge for us, as we talked about, was the arena. The other challenge that I had, and I think we may have shared this with you last time we were here, was we wondered whether or not we could build the private fundraising base that it would take to be successful. And that is what I thought may have taken more time. Mm-hmm. That went extraordinarily well. You know, John Barrett, who's present CEO here of the Western and Southern Group, was an outstanding leader in this effort and really was able to draw together, you know, all of our business and philanthropic forces in this town to bring together the resources. So had that held us back, I might have said, gosh, if we'd have gotten an earlier start on private fundraising, that would have made a difference. But we were well in the ballgame on that.
What about 2020? And you say, you know, you'd be willing to go try this again, go up to bat again. How could you do that without significant changes to U.S. Bank Arena?
I think you're right. I think there have to be some significant changes or an alternative plan. So that's how many years away? 6 years away. So we've got some time to have that conversation. But I think if we begin soon to really start to take this more seriously, I think we can have a community conversation about the arena. And by the way, one of the many reasons I keep talking about this and joining you today is to have this community conversation about how do we build a world-class arena or improve the one we have. And that's not to diminish the good people at Nederlander who have been cooperative. The problem is the arena is just aged. It's 40 years old.
Are you rooting for Cleveland now?
Well, I've come under a little bit of fire from some people for saying that. Look, my primary role here in town is to be chairman of the Republican Party. I want to win Ohio, Jay. That's important to us. So, yeah, there's a piece of me that wants to see this convention come to Ohio because it may boost our efforts to elect a Republican president.
Do you think it really does? I mean, the location of a nominating convention have an impact on that state's Electoral votes. Yeah.
Well, Howard, you know the history as well as I do. We did not win Florida, even though we were in Tampa last time. We certainly didn't win Minnesota when we were in Minneapolis.
Right.
So, you know, here's the reason we thought Cincinnati made sense, though, because this was a swing county as much as it was a swing state. So when we talked about coming to Cincinnati and bringing the convention to Cincinnati, we thought this was a week-long campaign stop for our nominee and his supporters. And we thought in a county like this one, if you can generate some buzz and excitement, it can really make a difference. And Howard, you of all people, as great as you've been about covering politics, you know how important this county is nationally. So we thought that bringing the convention here and having a week-long campaign visit could make a difference. Now, I'll concede to you that being in the state may or may not make a difference. And finally, our chairman, Reince Priebus, has said repeatedly that that was not the greatest consideration for where the convention would be held.
Did they ever tell you if it was going to be a 4 or 3 day convention? Because I know there was talk of cutting it back from 4 days to 3 days.
You know, we talked to the committee twice in a more formal setting, and both times it was still an open question about how long it was going to be. And I don't think that decision will be made before a site selection is made.
We're talking with Hamilton County Republican Party Chairman Alex Triana-Filou about the city's unsuccessful bid to host the 2016 Republican National Convention. If you have a question, 513-419-7100. Part of you was talking about the importance of Hamilton County being a swing county, and that's probably an argument that Cleveland could use in its favor, that it could cut into the Democratic vote in the Cleveland area if the Republican convention were in Cleveland, where you have the Republican nominee or surrogates on TV for a week.
I think that's right. I think that's exactly right. Look, anytime you have a close election, and our presidential campaigns have been close. I mean, President Obama was, at least on the popular vote side, it was a relatively close election. Anytime it's a close election, anything like that can make a difference. And that's true. I mean, my friend who I just referenced, who's in Cuyahoga County, reminds me that they've got a large number of Republicans on the raw number side. So when it comes to contributing to winning Ohio, he's just as important as winning this, quote, swing county of Hamilton County. So there are a lot of Republicans in Northeast Ohio, and perhaps if our convention ends up in Cleveland, that could help.
Yeah, and those voters are out in the suburbs of Cleveland, obviously. They're not the city voters. It's almost analogous to Cincinnati as a heavily Democratic city surrounded by some heavily Republican suburbs.
That's right. That's right.
When this is said and done, if we look like at Tampa, can they point to how much money the GOP convention in 2012 meant for them in Florida?
You know, the numbers we've heard are upwards of $200 million, $250 million of economic impact, just in terms of money spent weeks leading up to it, hotel taxes, food, drinks, the commerce it generates, tenting and chairs and all the other things that would have to be purchased in the venue site. So I'll say this about that. Some people have said to me, gosh, are these numbers inflated? Denver is still at play trying to get a convention 6 years after they had one. Dallas has hosted the Republicans before. They want another one. So I guess what I would say is if you've done it before and you want to do it again, I got to think that it was positive for your community.
Well, Cincinnati would have to have done a better job than Tampa. I think you'd agree with that. You and I were both there. So.
We were, and by the time we walked that mile into the arena, it was 95 degrees. It was not ideal, and we didn't say it at the time, but we certainly look back on it now and think there could have been a better transportation plan there.
Yeah.
Since you brought up transportation, I have to ask this question. There was talk that the city might hurry up and get the streetcar system running by the convention, which it's supposed to begin passenger service September of 2016. There was some thought that it could be operating by the convention in the summer of 2016. Did you talk about that to the committee? I mean, obviously, the work's being done. You couldn't ignore the fact that there is going to be a streetcar system, although I know there are a lot of folks, including Republicans, who are opposed to that plan.
I'm glad you give me a chance to set the record straight on this, and I'll tell you why, because my friends in the Democratic Party have had a lot of fun with this, thinking that this project, this boondoggle of a project that we don't like, as most Republicans don't support, that, you know, maybe for 1 week, one time in this city's lifetime, it may be worthwhile. The bottom line is, in our original proposal, our 155-page proposal, mentioned nothing about the streetcar because we were under the belief that it wasn't going to be built. And there really wasn't a serious conversation about including it. And politics was never a consideration. Look, our Convention as Visitors Bureau led this effort. That's a totally nonpartisan operation. Now, I will say this. Chairman Tim Burke, my counterpart, he offered a letter in support of this convention effort. And of course, he used his letter as an opportunity to talk about the streetcar. So I guess technically, if someone read the Democratic Party chairman's letter of support, it referenced the streetcar and it's perhaps being beneficial. And I knew what Tim was doing there, and we had a good laugh about it. But it really seriously was never part of our original proposal because we didn't think it was going to be finished.
But you could see the irony to some Democrats that this thing, the first major event that it could support would be a Republican National Convention, considering there were so many Republicans who have opposed the streetcar project.
Well, that's, I see the irony in that. And I guess we won't get to test their theory. We'll get to test ours. And our theory is that this will not move anybody anywhere. So we'll see.
So, I mean, what would this have been like? Try to describe for people what Cincinnati would have been like in July of 2016 if we had gotten this.
I think it would have been like unlike anything we've ever had in the community. And Howard, you know what happens with these things. It takes about 5,000 volunteers to do it. There would have been some angst with street closures
sure.
and some traffic problems. But, Cincinnatians would turn on the television every night and watch their city in the international spotlight. I've tried to be involved in leading this effort because I felt so strongly about this community. I'm a lifelong Cincinnatian, proud of the city. And I just thought it would be wonderful. The world spotlight shining on this city as we nominate a candidate for president of the United States. I'm disappointed we didn't end up having it because I think it would have been a point of pride for our community. And by the way, the Democrats in this town agreed as well, which is why they signed on. And frankly, if the Democrats made a similar pitch, I would applaud and support their effort in the same way that they did ours.
As we begin to wrap up here, so we don't end on an unhappy note about the disappointment, anytime you do something like this, there's positive comes out of it. What can the city take away from this that was positive?
I think it made us think about something bigger than what we've done before. And I'll tell you, when this effort started, the thing that I heard the most was, oh gosh, you're not going to get it. Look, they were right. The naysayers were right. But how can we do it? Do we have the hotel space? Do we have this? People were questioning the arena. You know, will this community come together? Can we do something like this? And as we went through the process and as we got positive feedback and we got, you know, we were on the cover of the Washington Post one day about Cincinnati being a contender for this. Day before we didn't get this, by the way, Kansas City put out an article ranking us first and handicapping who might get it. They were wrong. But we were able to talk about this world-class city. And look, it was an effort that failed. But at the end of the day, the effort had some benefit to advancing the cause of our city.
Hamilton County Republican Party Chairman Alex Triana-Filou discussing the city's unsuccessful bid to host the 2016 Republican National Convention. Thanks for joining us again.
That's great to be with you guys.
Coming up after the break, Howard and I will be discussing next week's anticipated vote on the city's budget for the fiscal year, which starts July 1st. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.